Welcome to Hormone Health Podcast, brought to you by Georgia Hartman and Chloe Sheehan.
This podcast is an extension of Hormone Health Studio, which is our naturopathic clinic based here in Newcastle and online.
We're just two naturopaths who love a laugh, coffee, croissants, and conversations about real people with real health concerns.
Nothing's off limits. We're here to educate you on what's happening in your body, share emerging research, and debunk buried health misconceptions.
So sit back and let us do the talking. So I saw something on TikTok recently.
Sounds informative.
Are you on TikTok? Yeah, I feel like a lot of my life choices come from TikTok.
I'm not, because I feel like I'd probably be too addicted.
Yeah, yeah. I can understand that. Actually, that leads me into what I was going to talk about. But this one video I saw was talking about, I think the title was like, do you feel like you don't know what you're doing with your life, which is a really good hook for
me. I love your algorithm.
Yeah, at the moment it's all Taylor Swift. I think I got excited about like one Taylor Swift show in Australia, and so now it's all Taylor Swift. So it's really funny how the algorithm works.
My Explorer page is just chocolate cake and Swiss ball exercises.
Anyway, I saw this one video and it was talking about how people, these, I think it even said millennials too, like it really got me. It had all the keywords, but it was talking about how millennials these days struggle sometimes to know what they're doing with their life. And it says that one of the biggest reasons for this is because of social media and how we see a little glimpse of what someone might be doing who we went to school with or a similar age or in our mum group or whatever. And you think, oh shit, I'm so far from that, or oh, that looks good, or I want to go there, or I want to be doing that, or gosh, why do they have so much money? How do they afford to do that? Or where does that come from? And then it makes you feel shit, and then it makes you question what you're doing with your life, and then you get really confused about where you're going. And I resonated with that.
But yeah, I totally get it too, because I, you know, for a while there, I was so much on that comparison from a fertility perspective. Everyone's having babies, everyone's doing this. Why can they do it and I can't?
Stephen had the right idea. He got off social media, like, I don't know, early in our relationship, like 10 years ago, which is funny because sometimes he'll try and say things or there'll be an acronym. I think when I announced this pregnancy, one of our friends messaged, like texted Stephen and said LFG, and Stephen was like, what does that mean?
What's LFG? I don't know.
Oh, you don't know.
What is
Let's
it?
Fucking go. Tell me you're from the mid-north coast.
I didn't know that.
I'm so surprised that it probably does float around Harvey Bay, but you've just been out for long enough to not know.
No one wants to go with me anywhere. So.
Yeah, true. Well, not true. I do. But it is, and then yesterday, so that was a TikTok video that I saw a few days ago. And then yesterday when I had the kids and I was at the park, this older man, he was in his 70s, he was there with his grandkids and his wife. They had the grandkids that day. He was talking about how his son, who is the father of these children, has recently split from his partner.
Oh,
and
no,
yeah, no, I wasn't talking to this man for very long, but I got a lot out of him. And he was saying that he reckons a big cause of it is social media. And I was like, that's something. He goes, don't get me wrong, I'm on Facebook. You're so cute. But he was like, you know, you compare, you see what other people are doing, you see how hard it is what you're doing, and you think, oh, well, they're doing something similar, but it doesn't look as hard. How do I, you know, and then you start questioning everything.
Will is just on Strava. That's his social media.
Strava?
It's a running app.
It's
like social media for runners, but he, like, if I give him, I'll usually give him like my phone to do my like quizzes that I do online, and the way he tries to use it, it's like double tapping. He's just like,
put his glasses on.
yeah
Stephen's just on LinkedIn.
Of course he is.
Yeah Of course he is. I know. And so he'll often send me things from LinkedIn that are from, what's the guy's name that he follows? I don't know, some business guy. And so he'll always send like these little like kind of
Something
business
motivational.
affirmations. Totally, totally. I remember he sent me one. Oh, I wish I could remember who it's from. Oh, Ray Dalio, who I actually really like his stuff. But I remember seeing Stephen sent me something when I was really struggling with morning sickness. And he goes, just sending this, have a look at it when you're in second trimester. I was like, send
Wasn't
me
like
flowers
win the
instead.
morning, win the day.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. But
But
anyway, so my new plan, so what I'm taking
yeah.
from all of this is that, and it's hard, I find, because I use social media as like a huge point of Hormone Health Studio.
Oh,
Like
of
it's
course, yeah.
such, there's so many benefits of social media. It's like there's so much free marketing that goes on and can
Think
really
about the
help.
reach of our clientele, though. Like,
Totally.
how do you get that, from a doing like a pamphlet
Yeah, and
run
I
if people
don't have the
send
energy to knock on anyone's door and sell them solar panels, you know? Like I'm just like, I don't know if they would appreciate that. But what I am going to implement is to just really, I kind of want to be a bit like Beyoncé, in more ways than one, but the one way I'm really referring to is that she doesn't follow anyone and she doesn't do anything. She just goes on there, posts her thing, and then leaves the space, I think. Or
And she
someone does.
posts with a reason. It's like
Intent, yes.
intent. That's right. And it's sort of like, well, here's this content building because bam, country album.
I know. All of a sudden, top of the charts. And, I didn't even know what she was doing. She just comes out and does her thing. So I'm not going to go and unfollow everyone because I think that that would be mean.
Brutal.
But I do think that I'm just going to go like once a day, post, reply, check the DMs. But I find what I constantly do is do that several times throughout the day. And I'm
More
like,
like in
not
a
even.
work capacity of like, this is the time I've allocated to social media,
Yes.
because a lot of us use it as a tool to just, mindlessly scroll, or
Yes.
yeah, there's
Check
no
out.
intent.
Yeah. Yes. So, anyway, that's my plan.
Okay, well, I'll hold you accountable. We'll see how that
Thanks.
goes. We'll
It's like
put it
that
in your
time you took a
calendar.
hiatus. I'm going
Yeah.
off social media. I was like, and then the next day or the next week, I was like, what are you doing?
Like, I'm bored.
I'm bored. And that's often what we do. But then it's like you see something and then it's triggering. And then you like feel really shit about yourself.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Is there going to be a segue to our topic of
No.
conversation today?
Well, okay. Well, here's the segue. The segue is that social media can induce stress and negative behaviors within the body, which can negatively affect hormones, which can affect PMS. So let's talk about PMS today.
LFG.
LFG.
PMS. I feel like the generation, I forget what the generation is above millennials, but they used to call it PMT, premenstrual tension, whereas we sort of more commonly refer to it as PMS or premenstrual syndrome.
A whole syndrome now. It's so
It's just,
dramatic. We're
yeah,
so
it is.
dramatic.
Well, yeah, and it's hard because like up to 75 to 80% of people experience it in the lead up to their period. And so it's almost like we just are like, oh, it's something that happens.
Yeah, you think it's normal.
Yeah, you think it's normal, but we know that it's not a new thing. It's been happening for a very long time, as long as menstrual cycles have been around. But this episode specifically is going to be talking about the different symptoms of PMS, why it occurs. There's not an exact mechanism of action in terms of when we sort of say, okay, so this is why it happens. It's more hypotheses around it and certain things that can exacerbate PMS. We'll talk about like management strategies as well, but also who's at risk for it, because I'm sure I can speak on behalf of a lot of other people when they say some months are probably better than others, and some months are so much worse than others.
Yeah. And when people book in with one of our practitioners, they're automatically sent a form. And so we ask about PMS symptoms. And more times than not, like almost all of the symptoms are tips, like
I know.
fluid retention, headaches,
Anxiety, breast pain.
back pain, insomnia or sleeping issues, depression, constipation, gut stuff, diarrhea, bloating.
And I can't remember off the top of my head how many symptoms will fit under that PMS syndrome, but it's a lot.
I
And
also think that it's brushed off though. Like a lot of the time people will go to their practitioner, whoever that might be, and go, "Oh, I've got these PMS symptoms." But it's like, "Oh, okay, yeah. But what are you here for today? Like what's
yeah, almost like just
your big
assumed
concern?"
that it's just supposed to be normal. When, yeah, it can be really debilitating for a lot of people, and especially when it's happening not just one day before, not just 2 days before, but several days before, and it's almost like this big lead up to your period, and you're just waiting to have a bleed so that you can just feel a little bit more regulated.
Get the relief.
But I would probably say that the main symptoms that we sort of see in clinic for PMS would be things like fluid retention, headaches, back pain or period cramping at the front, breast tenderness, sleeping issues, where that sleep quality just isn't the same as throughout your other days in your menstrual cycle, that fatigue or that exhaustion, and then also, gut symptoms as well.
Yeah, I think, and it really kind of reiterates how our hormones can have systemic effects on the body. Like, not often when you have a poor night's sleep, do you think, oh, maybe that could be my hormones. Or if you are feeling anxious or even really low mood or really low energy, you think, oh, that could be my hormones. You often think about everything else under the sun before you even consider the hormonal fluctuations.
I'm always blaming the humidity on
You are
everything.
actually. That is so true.
I'm like, I'm having a bad headache,
Middle of
humidity.
winter. It's the
Yeah,
humidity.
but
How
thinking
did you
about
live
that,
up in Hervey Bay? It's
oh, I
way
don't
more
know.
humid than down here.
Yeah, maybe it's just being pregnant at the moment. I'm just
Yeah,
like
probably.
so hot, like I'm
I'm so
radiant.
humid.
I'm so. Oh, it's killing me. But so when we're sort of thinking about these symptoms, for some people, they can fit a diet, like a category of saying, like, you might be PMSA, A specifying anxiety, or PMSC, C for cravings. We tend to have at different stages for different reasons more dominant PMS symptoms. And that can be, it can just be, okay, well, we'll write that down and make note of it. Or it can be a clinical insight for us to say, okay, so you're experiencing more sort of psychological symptoms like the anxiety, depression. Let's look into that a bit further. Or you might just be experiencing the breast tenderness, which can give us some insight. So what I would say is that if you are somebody who is experiencing PMS and you haven't already done this, choose a month and document your symptoms. Write them down and give it a score out of 10, 10 being the most severe, one being least or minimal. And then you've got a baseline of your symptoms, and you month on month you can make comparisons. And usually when we're treating hormones, we like to give that sort of 3 month time frame to say, well, this is when you should really notice a big improvement. And so if you create that baseline and say, well, this was my energy levels pre-period, but 3 months down the track, I've noticed it's improved significantly. So write those symptoms down, put them in your phone somewhere so that you can keep track of it.
Yeah, I think that's a good point because I think a lot of people don't track their cycle, right? And so they actually don't know that these symptoms that they might be experiencing are premenstrual symptoms. They often just think, oh yeah, sometimes I get anxiety, sometimes I get headaches. It probably does happen each month, but I don't really know when. So even tracking when they happen can give you, it can kind of take a lot of weight off your shoulders in that you're not this person that has these huge, fluctuations throughout their life in their symptoms, it's your hormones.
And not to sound arrogant in a way, but there's like these sort of trending reels or memes where it's sort of saying, I wanted to quit my job and do all of this, and then I got my period, and I realized what was happening. I have always tracked my cycle, and so
Here
unless
she
my
is.
cycle, there I am, the
When I
menstrual
was
queen.
eight.
No, but I feel like I always use that as a way to just be like, okay, it's not you, it's your hormones.
Yeah.
Take it easy, give yourself a bit of a break, because I know for me myself, like if I was getting more irritable at the sound of people eating or just these like
Do you
little
remember that
sounds.
time in the podcast when, oh, was it me or was it you that said, like, oh, you breathe really loud?
I was like, like you're breathing really heavily through your nose. Well, I'm gonna blame it on my hormones. But if normally I'd be able to deal with that, but then other times I just will get fixated on a sound,
Yeah.
and so that can be an exacerbation of already symptoms. Yeah. So for me, I would always be like, well, I know that I'm experiencing these symptom changes, and that's, I guess, why we can talk about, well, why does PMS occur? And it usually comes down to the dance between your menstrual cycle hormones. And the reason I say dance is because it's not going to be the same every single day, let alone every single hour or so. Your hormones are constantly changing, especially with progesterone. We know that it's got a surge-like activity. And when you test it in the morning, it can be eightfold different to testing it in the afternoon. And so when we're sort of thinking about these different hormones, essentially your menstrual cycle is designed for you to conceive. And so once you've ovulated, your body is anticipating pregnancy, and those hormones are surging really, really high. And I don't know why I'm showing you visuals with my hands because
Maybe
we're
we'll
on Zoom,
share it.
but your hormones are basically expecting there to be pregnancy. And then you reach that middle point 7 days before your period, where your body then says, yes, I am pregnant, or no, I'm not pregnant. And then those hormones start to go down. And when those hormones start to decline, this is when we can experience symptoms. Because estrogen, when it's in good amounts, it's responsible for our energy levels. It can support endurance. It supports our serotonin, our feel-good neurotransmitter, and also oxytocin. And also insulin, which a lot of people don't realize. So our appetite can be better, or we can have less sort of sugar, blood sugar crashes when our insulin is stable. So basically, when that's on the decline, mood can go down, energy levels can go down, blood sugar dysregulation increases. But then also, your progesterone is declining at the same time as well. And progesterone is responsible for having that nice sort of calming effect on the body. It elicits, or it supports our GABA stimulation. And GABA is a neurotransmitter responsible for calming the brain. It's what Valium and Passionflower do. It gives us that nice sort of like sedation-like feeling, which is supposed to happen in pregnancy, but I just feel tired. And so with these two main hormones, estrogen and progesterone, on the decline, people are more likely to experience these symptoms. It's like a withdrawal. It's like, well, you're not pregnant. Bam, decline.
Yeah,
Which is pretty tough, like a pretty rough system.
it's not fair, is it?
Not fair at all. But of course, there's certain things in our life, or certain influences that can contribute to the severity of our PMS symptoms.
Yeah, like stress is a big one. And I feel like we talk about this in probably every single episode, no matter what we're talking about. But, the question of is my lifestyle impacting my progesterone levels? How often do you ask yourself
I used to,
that?
but I feel like I'm different. In terms of,
Pregnancy is a real different state, hormonal state. I think you've kind of, yeah, it's a different, there's different strategies in pregnancy.
but when we sort of think about stress, it's not just going to be that classic, oh, I could pull my hair out. It's good stresses as well. It's moving. It's starting a new job. It's, it can be, and not that this is a good thing, but a different conversation. It can be things like surgery. There's so many different types of stresses, physical stress, mental stress.
And so I think it comes down to making sure that no matter the stress that we're experiencing, because undoubtedly we're all experiencing some sort of stress, even the stress of exercise or the stress of a lack of sleep, what are we putting in place to support our stress response? What kind of calming practices, what kind of sleep routine or practices are we putting in for our morning routine or evening routine to help and to help calm the nervous system and support the stress response?
You might find that you have started a new sort of routine where you're not eating breakfast until 11 o'clock, and your body is perceiving that as a stress because it's hungry. Whereas for you, it's just a routine, and that's a different, that's a something different for you. But then you might find that that next month or the month after that, your PMS is increased. And so it's about looking at overall, what you're doing and saying, well, where can I make these optimizations? What is my body actually needing to help calm the brain? Because your brain is really your master controller of all your hormones, and it's going to have that communication with the ovaries, with your reproductive hormones, and that can have a flow-on effect to how we perceive PMS.
Yeah, one thing that I wanted to make off your point just there is, the question of are we eating enough, particularly to support energy. And so if your big PMS symptom is that you get so fatigued a good 7 days before your period is due, are you eating enough? Is that something simply to look at? Okay, well, maybe if I just increase my protein, increase my carbohydrates for this next month, let's just see what happens with my energy. And if you notice an increase in your energy or that you don't have that premenstrual fatigue, there you go. You simply weren't eating enough, even though you were functioning day to day and getting through the things you needed to do.
Because a lot of people will say, well, I have a massive dinner or I do this, but that's not enough because your brain needs that constant energy supply. And we know that nutritional absorption of new, like of food is going to be better when it's spread out throughout the day. There's some key nutrients involved in supporting our hormones. And if you're not eating enough, potentially you're at risk of these nutritional deficiencies.
Absolutely. Things like magnesium, things like your B vitamins,
Iodine.
iodine, B6 gets a big rap when it comes to PMS. And before supplementing, we should always be looking at, how much we're getting through food.
And so protein, a lot of complete protein is going to have your B vitamins in there as well. So it's easy to sort of think, oh, I'm just going to buy this supplement to help with PMS, but nutritionally, you're getting so much more complete nutrient profiles looking at that as well. And also sleep, I think you said it before. It's really important to have a good sleep routine. We know that that can throw off so much if we're not getting adequate amounts of sleep. And then in terms of calming practices as well, it's that constant balance between, okay, this might be my high intensity, but what offsets that? Do I do a high intensity exercise routine and then come home to absolute chaos? And then it's not
Yes.
until. And then do I have, a double shot long black?
Okay, now I feel like you're targeting me
Taking
personally.
so I think it's like, what can you do to offset that?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's in terms of, yes, is my lifestyle impacting my progesterone? The other thing we need to think about is that usually low levels of progesterone are going to be due to higher amounts of what we call unopposed estrogen. Again, I said it's that dance between hormones. So we're not going to say here estrogen excess because that's oversimplifying it. We need to think about not only the estrogen that we make, because it's really important, estrogen is really important, but how are we clearing it from the body as well? And so estrogen detoxification from the body is, you explained it in a really great analogy. So I'm going to pass it over to you, just in terms of how that whole hormone is made and then removed.
I feel like I really simplify it. But essentially, here's my spiel on estrogen metabolism and clearance. It's a two-step process. First goes to the liver, attaches to a little molecule called conjugation, and then that conjugated estrogen moves to the bowel and is excreted out of the stool. So whenever we're talking about healthy estrogen metabolism and clearance, in every single person who makes estrogen and needs to get any excess estrogen out of the body, we need to make sure that we're supporting liver function, and we need to make sure that we're supporting gut function. So, there's many ways that we do this, but I think if you take a step back and think about liver function, the best way to support your liver is to reduce the load on it in the beginning. So think alcohol, think exposure to environmental toxins, endocrine disrupting chemicals in our skincare, our makeup, our shampoo, our conditioner, our household cleaning products, our perfumes, everything else
Did you
that
say alcohol?
I did say alcohol.
Okay.
You're like, sorry, I was just thinking about wine.
I was thinking about my analogy of describing the liver as sort of like the Australia Post in terms of around Christmas. If we're overloading it with people coming in with parcels, does it have the resilience to be able to distribute that effectively, or does it get clogged up?
I do feel like that's a dig at the processes of Oz Post.
Yeah, well, try to send a
Well,
parcel
this
around
last
Christmas.
Christmas, like the amount of orders that we sent out, I feel like everyone received them.
Oh, I'd be so stressed as a postie,
Oh,
mainly because I'm
goodness.
scared of dogs.
Are you? That's
Yeah.
interesting. I didn't know that.
But I think coming back to estrogen, a lot of people don't realize that the main way for it to get out of the body is through bowel movements. And
Yeah.
so if you are constipated, if you're not eating enough fiber, if you're not eating enough cruciferous vegetables, you're really not supporting that liver bowel process.
Yeah, more times than not, when people come in with hormonal problems, whether it's PMS, whether it's, gosh, skin concerns, whether it's weight, a lot of the work that we do, particularly if estrogen is at play, is supporting that gut function. Something as simple as regular exercise can help bowel movements and can also help detoxification. So,
Mode as well, you know,
mood,
it's a
absolutely.
yeah.
Absolutely, I know that myself. And actually, I sent Stephen a message this morning saying, okay, these are the Pilates classes that I need to get into. I haven't exercised in weeks. And honestly, mentally, more than anything, I feel it.
Need it, yeah. And so that, you know, it doesn't have to be complicated when we're thinking about estrogen. I think, you know, we can explain the complexities of how it works, but then the body doesn't need too much to be able to run effectively.
Yeah.
It just needs these sort of foundations. When we're sort of thinking about PMS symptoms that are quite estrogenic, I usually think about cystic acne or breakouts before the period. I think about like really painful, tender breasts. I think about cramping. In the gut, or like around the uterine area. And even when you have your period, to think about heavy periods, clotty periods, that's a sign that your estrogen isn't in that nice ratio with progesterone.
Yeah, well put. And maybe something else we should touch on is the differentiation between PMS and PMDD. I know in a previous episode we interviewed naturopath Lisa Costa Burr about Hashimoto's and PMDD, and she had some really great insight on PMDD. But perhaps for anyone that hasn't listened to that episode, we should give that
Clarify,
differentiation
yeah.
here. Yeah.
So PMDD is going to be your more sort of severe type of PMS. It's called premenstrual dysphoric disorder. And people had this hypothesis before that it was due to a sensitivity to hormones, whereas we know that it's got less involvement with estrogen and progesterone, and other, it's got more involvement in other hormones such as allopregnanolone, and then also in terms of like your adrenaline or more of your sort of like nervous system style hormones. What's interesting with PMDD is that there is a link with trauma, and there is also a link with neurodivergent diagnoses. And so when we're sort of making the link between PMDD and PMS, what's interesting is that With PMDD, there was a study from 2016 showing that 21% of women diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder suffered from PMDD compared to 3% of non-autism sufferers. So
Interesting.
there's an elevated percentage for that. And then more recently, there was research from 2021 showing that 92% of women diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder experience PMDD compared to 46 and 46% of people diagnosed with attention deficit disorder experience PMDD. So there is definitely that link with neurodivergency.
Fascinating.
And to compare PMS to PMDD, I think you yourself are going to be the best person to make or give that sort of evidence to say, well, these are my symptoms, this is when they occur, and then present that to your practitioner and say, well, this is when I notice that when they start and this is when they stop. And it's almost like that sort of classic light switch of
Yeah.
symptoms. They start and then they stop and they're quite severe. So coming back to PMS, I think it's important to also understand that, as I was saying earlier, up to 80% of people experience PMS, but it's important to understand, is there an underlying driver here? Is there something going on, such as thyroid imbalances or endometriosis or PCOS or nutritional deficiencies? Can we relate it to, high levels of stress, such as a move, a divorce, a breakup, or
Work, recent
work?
sickness, surgery, exercise, sleep,
Yeah.
whatever that stress is on the body.
Where is this coming from? And then once we have an understanding of, okay, it probably isn't that, then we can work to streamline treatment strategies. And that's when we sort of think about if there wasn't anything pathological underlying, and we made that distinction between PMDD and PMS, and we knew that it was slight PMS, we could think about the support in terms of nutritional and lifestyle strategies, but then also different supplements. And this is going to be quite individual because we definitely don't want people going out and being like, well, I'm just going to buy these symptoms and hope for the
Yeah,
best.
supplements. Yep.
Supplements, sorry. But in terms of when we're thinking about the main ones, minerals, calcium, magnesium, and zinc, and there's specific dosages for each of them that we'd recommend. But then also B6. But the caveat to supplementing with B6 is that it's really important you make sure you know your dosages, because it can be associated with symptoms of toxicity at more than 50 milligrams a day. So, and it's in lots of different supplements as well. So
Yeah,
you
so
want to make
it
sure
can be
it's not
easy.
stacking it.
Yeah, it can be really easy to hit that dose if you're taking a multi and you're taking some sort of magnesium powder that's got a whole bunch of stuff in it, and then
And
you're
then,
also adding in a straight B6 supplement. You can really do more harm than good, and perhaps B6 isn't even what you need.
also one of the most researched herbs in complementary medicine is vitex or chaste tree. But with that as well, you want to be taking it for a specific amount of time, and it's really not appropriate in cases of PCOS. So you want to rule that out before supplementing with that too. So that's more of an overview. There is so much that we can do for PMS, and it's not something that you have to put up with. If you can understand where your symptoms are and then work out, well, how can I just reduce that over time?
Yeah.
Which is totally possible.
And sometimes you see a complete resolution within one cycle, and 3 cycles later, they've still had no PMS symptoms. Their period just arrives without any symptoms. And that's the goal. Sure, a bit of a twinge, a bit of a drop in mood, or a bit of a drop in energy can be normal, but it's these symptoms that are prolonged and happen for, at intensity for several days. That's not normal. We can get on top of that pretty quickly.
You come into clinic thinking you're going to talk about PMS. I'm like, tell me about your husband.
Yes,
How's
yes. Tell me
he?
about your bowel movements.
How's he
They're
your
like, where's the
main cause of
Vitex?
stress?
Just give me the Vitex and just give me the B6, and you walk away with neither of those, but a solution.
The solution. So that's pretty much our wrap up of PMS. There's, so much more that we could speak about it, but it does come down to the individual and how their symptoms are displayed.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode.
If you liked it, leave us a review and follow us on socials. We'd love to hear from you.